Hey, we're so excited that you're joining us here on Community Church Podcast, where our prayer is that you would find a better life with Jesus and a secure place in heaven. We hope this message encourages you, and if you want to find out more ways to connect, you can visit us at forabetterlife.org.
Lord, I am ready to hear your word, to believe your word, and to live your word, because I've been chosen for victory, not for defeat, for health and not for sickness, for prosperity and not for poverty, because I am more than a conqueror in Jesus' name and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Everybody says amen and amen. Give a big hand to the Lord and you may be seated and get comfortable wherever you are right now, because you're going to receive a powerful word from heaven. Amen. Today's topic is letting go of ignorance. And we're going to speak today about God's perspective before or in front of racism. And today I have Pastor JJ, pastor of the new Community Family Church, Thrive Church. So let's give it up for JJ. Come on, somebody. And Pastor Alfredo, the youth pastor of Community Ministry. If you are connected, let's do something there. Yes, cheer to your pastors. And for the most handsome pastor in South Florida, who is your pastor? Okay, we need to let go the ignorance about the topic of racism. And sometimes we in church preach about hope, preach about, you know, faith, the future. But sometimes we need to speak about some sensitive topics, and today is one of them, because we are not going to present today church perspective about this, but we're going to present God's perspective about this topic. So if we read the first verse that we want to share with you, is in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. And the Bible says, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." Lack of knowledge is equal to ignorance. Wow. And sometimes the ignorance comes from the lack of understanding. Right. Because I do not understand your point of view, right, or your position, so I make mistakes. Right. And we said it before, ignorance is bold. Yeah. Yeah. So I need my bottle, please. And I have a bottle of water with me. And I want to ask you, what do you see?
Well, I see the community logo, and it says Water of Life. It's pretty cool.
I want to put it in front of the camera. What do you see? If you can help me here, please. This camera? This one? This one? Hello? The number 4. Okay. There you go. If you see there, you can see something that I cannot see from my side. I'm seeing the same bottle that you are seeing, but I don't see the same because I'm not in your position. That's right. If I want to see what is in that side, I had to go to your side. That's right. To understand. And the problem sometimes with some topics, if you can help me, thank you. Some topics is that we are judging the situation from our own side, yeah, instead of putting our position in the other side.
That's really good, Pastor. We're talking about ignorance, and I think we can just stay there for just a little bit. And speaking about ignorance, and the first thing I would like to tell you about ignorance is that we need to admit we have it. Now, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just trying for you to search within you, because being ignorant is not necessarily something bad at the moment, but when you acknowledge it and you decide to stay ignorant, then that's a problem. And we want to encourage you today as we share this topic to step out, to let go of ignorance. But the first thing you and I need to do is admit it. And that's exactly what I've done. And I want to speak to you for a second on this. Listen, we're living in a culture that literally swims on information. There is so much information, yet you and I might just draw on ignorance. And it's such a huge call for us. We have to understand ignorance is real, but you and I need to let it go. It's so important. And I'm going to tell you this too. Ignorance will always be uncomfortable with change. ignorance will always be uncomfortable with changing. And that means that you and I need to change maybe the way we feel about it, we think about it, and we act about it. And it's a huge call today that we are letting you know that we are all on the same page. And like Pastor said it, this is not a personal position. This is the Bible. This is Christ's position. That should be our position.
Yeah, and that's important before you can speak and read the verses that we want to use as a base of this teaching, is that sometimes we can react, but we can react as church, not like everybody else is reacting, mm-hmm. because we are putting ourselves in a position of the humanity, but we are humans, but we are spirit as well. And we need to give this world the solution that is in the Bible, that is in God, the creator of everything.
Hello, how are you? All right. As you were speaking, Pastor, and showing the example of the bottle, this phrase came to my mind, and I think it's a challenge to everybody who's watching online and everybody who's here today, is that we have to understand we don't know it all, right? But we still have taken a position. And the problem with us taking a position when we don't know it all, this is the importance of getting out of ignorance, is that our position determines our perspective. What you were showing on the bottle, our position determines our perspective. So if I've taken a position that might not be the same perspective as somebody else, I have a way of seeing things that is not the same way that somebody else sees them. So I am ignorant as to their perspective. So my challenge this morning as we're talking is really to challenge us in reassessing our position. That's really good.
Yeah. And the thing is that if we don't do that, we're going to be judging something with just our knowledge, and not in the position of the other people and the suffering of other people. Right. And that's the thing, because I cannot take the position in ignorance is not knowing the details about something. On other time is knowing the details, I don't care.
So ignoring it as
well. I'm ignoring because I don't want to see the problem, right. Because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get uncomfortable, as you were saying, right. That getting out of ignorance is not comfortable sometimes. But let's read the verses that I'm going to use of base, and this is after Jesus answered about what is the greatest command. And he said, you have to love your God, and you have to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the master of the law asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Right. So let's read.
So it says in Luke 10, Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. And then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. And then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. And the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same.
Go and do the same. So, Pastor Alfredo, we had 2 different positions here. 2 kind of reactions from the people that passed by the one that was hurt.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us to ask ourselves 2 questions in this position. Number 1, what would happen to me if I go and actually help that person that is hurting? And I think the first 2 people actually gave that perspective to themselves. Remember, so many times we speak out so much, we preach out so much, and we forget to preach to ourselves. And when we do things like this, when we come to understandings like this, you and I need to start preaching to ourselves a little bit more. What am I thinking about this? Let me go deeper in the situation. Like if I'm gonna fix this with prayer, it's not just public prayer, but it's personal prayer. I'm gonna go in my room, Matthew 6:6, and I'm gonna analyze what's happening inside of here, in deep in my heart. And those two people were like, if I go and help them, what's going to happen to me?
What will happen to me? So it's a selfish position.
It's a selfish position. 100%.
I don't care about the hurting of others because I'm more concerned about me.
That's right. And then, but there's another position. Come on, that's so important. There's always another position. And we need to understand this. And the question is, what would happen to this man if I don't approach him? So you go from a selfish position of going like, what's going to happen to me if I don't help? And you go to the Samaritan's position and say, he's my enemy. Because by culture, Samaritans and Jews were enemies, period. They didn't like each other. They rejected each other. You can see that throughout the whole Bible. And this man goes, man, this, if I don't do something, this man is going to die.
Before JJ speak, because I know he's you know he's on fire right now. But we went to Jerusalem and we went to Israel,
come on.
And the person, the guy that we had spoke to us about this specific part of the Bible, and he put it on the perspective on today's situation, and he said the Samaritan was representing a black person on this time. And the Jewish that was hurt represent a white person. So what will happen if a black person will help a hurting white one today, put it in his car and take him to the hospital? It will be like, this black man did something to the white one. Pastor Rick Warren was saying in a teaching this week, Pastor Rick Warren is one of the most influential pastors in this day. He said, the difference between the races when a police stop one of them. For example, when a police stop a white one, he was saying, he's a white pastor. He said, the white one will say, oh man, I'm going to have to pay some money. If the police stops a Latino, the Latino will say, oh, I'm going to get deported. And the black one will say, oh, I can get killed. And that's sad. But that's a reality.
Yeah, Pastor, that it is sad, and it is the reality. And, you know, we ask this question, what would have happened to them had they helped them? Maybe they would have been uncomfortable. Right. What you just shared was when this guy approached him, he was putting his life at risk. He was going helping somebody that he was not expected to help, and they thought, or he could have possibly been accused of beating up the same guy and then arrested himself. But I asked myself, and we asked this earlier, is what would happen if this man did not approach that man? That man would have died. And here's the reality. Maybe today you're not in a place where you are physically dying. And that's why you might not be able to relate to all that's going on right now. But if we can change our position, we can understand that there are still people who are internally dying. Okay, this man would have died had this other man not come up to him. And we as the body of Christ, as the church, we need to come to those people who are in fact dying inside. Okay? Why? Because Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And when people are in pain and have broken hearts because of the situation or the reality that we're living in that we might not understand, but they're living it, we need to put ourselves in that position, understand where they're coming from, and take up our role to begin to heal the broken hearts.
That's good.
And the problem is sometimes we don't like to get into things that we don't like or make us feel, you know, bad.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to get in that situation. But we as church, we need to do it. And this is not something that Jesus suggested, or it wasn't just Jesus's perspective. He was giving us a command.
Yeah.
You go and do the same.
Yeah.
So the question is, what do we have to do as a church about this situation? And that's why we are talking about this. And sometimes, and I was reading a post this week, and the post said, we just not need to protest. We need to pray because prayer resolves everything. And I believe that, but that is an incomplete reality. We need to pray, but we need to do something.
Yeah, we agree with that. We are the church. We believe that the solution is not found in politics, but is found in the spiritual environment. We know that prayer can bring change. But I think the question right here, as we just mentioned, what type of prayer are we speaking about? Because prayer needs to happen 100%. But also, like we were saying, protesting, of course, that's important. Because that creates
awareness here in this country.
100%. And it creates awareness. This past Friday, I went to a protest myself. And as I was walking into just finding about 300, 400 people, I'm not really sure how much it was. But you can feel the pain. You can feel, yes, but this is the thing. If we're going to solve this and we're going to be part of the solution, the first thing we have to do, you and I, we need to stop looking the other way. We need to stop acting like the first two people from the story. And we need to look at the situation. And that needs proximity. Like, you and I need proximity. You and I need to be there. Like, proximity, the first thing, proximity as like, I'm going to pay attention to this situation that's happening. So that's emotional proximity. And you're going to end up being able to physically have proximity to it. And in the midst of this, empathy is going to be birthed. And that is so important.
And that is the first step, because I don't know if you ask yourself when you were there about what else can we do.
Yeah.
Because
100%.
Anybody can go and protest. Yeah. But we as Christians, we can do more.
Come on.
And the question is, what more can we do? And In John chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible says, John the Baptist replied in the words of Isaiah, the prophet, and said, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. And we have to be that voice that is calling on mercy. We have to be that voice that is calling on what is correct, not only the humanity perspective, but the spiritual perspective.
We've talked so much, and if you've been in the body of Christ for some time, you've heard the phrase, we are the salt or the light of the world, and we are the salt of the earth. It's about time we start being light. It's about time we start being salt. It's about time that we as a body of Christ start talking about these issues, not avoiding these issues, and influencing not just with our prayers, but with our actions in a way that is constructive and a way that is meaningful.
And the Bible gave us the parameters that we need to use to relate to each other, because God created all of us. We are equal to God. He said, in my image, God said it, I created you, but at the same time, he created different. And the question is, God created us differently because he had one, like your sons. Do you have one that is, you know, more special to you? It could be that God can have a special race to love, or he loved everybody in the same way.
Yes, he does.
So let's read what the Bible says.
Yeah, and this is what the Bible says. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 16 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. 12. Be joyful in hope. There is hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Come on. 13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need, your neighbor, everyone. Practice hospitality. Come on. 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position, every position, same position. Do not be conceited. Wow.
And I think this is a wider problem, not just racism.
Yeah,
but in Latin, in Latin America, we have different kind of division because of social classes. So sometimes it's not just the color of your skin. It's about your possessions.
Right.
It's about your education, is about your religion, is about different things. The question is, do we have the right to attack the other or to reject the other because they are different than we are? And you were telling us about story about your own family, you too. And I think it's important for people can hear it because we need to get rid of this problem as church.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go first.
Yeah, you go first.
So So my family, we're Puerto Rican by nature, and if you know Puerto Ricans, they're just not white, they're just not black, they're like everything. We're just I think we're God's people first and foremost. But the reality is, I'm the lightest one in my entire family. Half of my family, my closest cousins, are very dark. You know, if you didn't know they were Puerto Rican, you'd say they're black folks. Most of my best friends growing up are black folks. And the reality is, what we were talking about earlier, is that my father, who's probably just a little bit darker than Pastor is, back in the 70s, 80s, had a huge afro. I mean, a quality afro, the kind you hide pics in. And matter of fact, he had several of them. And the funny thing is that when my mother told me this story, that when she first brought my father home to meet her father, okay, my grandfather basically said, "What are you doing bringing that black guy to this house?" And it's unfortunate, but that is a cultural reality that we live in. And I said it earlier, and halfway joking, halfway serious, that did not change. His heart did not change until he got to know my father, and until my aunt brought home somebody who was darker, okay, and married my uncle, who was much, much darker. That, unfortunately, that was the reality of our family, but it was really the heart change that made the difference, because they got to know my father.
Yeah, and with this, by just sharing our stories, we just, again, like, highlight that this is a problem of the heart, and this is a problem of the of human beings. And, you know, it was funny, but before I married Steph, you know, and my family's in El Salvador, so I would call my grandma, and I would go, "Hey, grandma, what's going on?" Like, we were dating with Steph, and my grandma would go, like, "Hey, how's the Filipina doing?" And I would go, like, "Excuse me? Yeah, yeah, how's Stephanie doing? You know, my wife has the most beautiful eyes that I've ever seen, and I'm..." And no, she does. And you can't look at them like that, but I can, and I love that. And, you know, I mean, I guess, like, but it is impressive how impregnated, and this is our message, one of our message today, that you and I need to check our hearts, because racism can be actually impregnated in our hearts, and we haven't even noticed. That's why we need to stop looking around. Listen, God didn't create races. God only created the human race. That's one.
And diversity. That's it. Yeah, that's great. And if we can define racism, we have three different definitions. First of all, is hate for another race or ethnicity. Second is believing that one race or ethnic group is superior to the others. And the third one is prejudice towards another race or ethnic group. And I think that is the most important problem right now. That we have some, you know, things in our heart against others because of their color, or because of their nationality, or because of their class. And we do that sometimes, and we take it as a normal way of relating to others. And we were saying that, for example, we have the problem to call others for the things that we remember about them. Right. For example, "Oh, you remember that guy? Which guy?" "Oh, the guy with the big ears. The black guy. Or the Latino one." And sometimes we do not understand that that is a way of racism, rejection. And that is not good, because sometimes people are struggling with their own situations, and others are, you know, pointing of that problem or situation or characteristics. And we're doing the opposite of what the Bible says.
I want to add something, Pastor, because I think it's really important too. You know, I grew up in this country, as you know, and there's a lot of youth. And when I grew up, we used a lot of language that was normal for us to use. And unfortunately, we normalize certain language. And because
can you say one of them?
I probably shouldn't say one of those. Okay. If you don't want to get taken off of Facebook here or YouTube, but you know, we use language in just hanging out. If we go to the basketball courts and I hang out with some of the youth, you know, we hear language, and we share language, and it has taken on a cultural meaning, but it does not negate the root of the meaning. And when we use certain language, we normalize it, we make it part of our everyday language, or certain jokes. We talked about that in the first service, that we talk about certain jokes where, you know, God says don't give jokes that have double meaning. Okay, but what about jokes that just have a plain out meaning that are just wrong? At some point, we need to check our language. And when we check our language, we can stop normalizing things that really are affecting people. Even if we don't know why it is, that's not our problem is not to know why it's hurting people. Our problem is to recognize that it's hurting people. And that's how we get out of ignorance.
That is very true, very, very true. And I think it's important because we've talked about this. Like, if we make this a political issue, then we're going to pass a law that is going to go anti-racism. But listen, if we don't change in our hearts, you can be punished by being racist, but you will never change this. Because from the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And I think that's the real problem here. It's a problem of the heart. And the Bible is clear, Pastor, and probably this is a statement that we believe that the Bible describes racism or any rejection to another human being.
Exactly.
Number one, it's a diabolical thing. It's a plan from the enemy for us to be divided, for us not to have unity. And let me just say this to you. Unity is uncomfortable. Like, if you think that we're just going to kumbaya this thing and we're like, we're all united. No, it's going to take you and me to have a conversation, for me to have proximity, to sit down, to get to know you, JJ, your story, what you've gone through, what you're feeling, that will probably explain how you're behaving. Because this, there's a plan behind it, and the enemy is having fun with the vision, but the church must stand united, but be willing to be uncomfortable in doing so. Also, the Bible teaches us that it is self-righteousness. That we can be in a place that I can say in my heart, I am better than you. And that's not what Jesus taught us.
And beside that, it's not only racism, it's the division or rejection because of your country, because of your possessions. So this is a wider problem. And thirdly, it questions the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, because Jesus said you had to go and preach to all the nations, and you have to, you know, to love each other. So regardless of your position, regardless of your possessions, regardless of your the color of your skin, so we have to be consistent in every area of our Christianity. And the fourth says as well, it questioned God's creation and plan. Because the color of my skin, I'm like café con leche. It's because God planned it like that. So JJ having his afro is God's plan as well. And you having no hair is God's plan.
That is also God's plan, I guess. That's inheritance.
So that's why racism, rejection or division against other people, it questions God directly.
And that raises the question for all of us today. Then, okay, I got it. I know it's wrong. I need to stop looking away and look towards. But what do I do? And I want to read this quote before we actually give you actual steps. Martin Luther King said this, Jr. said this. If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. This is not a trend. This is a need from transformation, and it's going to take all of us. Listen, you and I, all of us, we're navigating this, man. I'm a Latino that don't know much about the topic, but I am choosing to educate myself to create a difference. And I want to invite you to stop looking away. I ask you. In the name of our community, I ask you, in the name of our brothers and sisters, in the name, man, of humanity, stop looking away. Stop justifying yourself. You and I, the church, has a responsibility to be the church and start doing some things today.
And before you read the last verse, to give you some practical steps to do something, I want you to understand that we cannot let this situation to become a trending topic as well. Okay, this happened now, and after 2 or 3 months, this will pass, and then we will not forget it. And the media will have something else, you know, to point. It was the pandemic weeks ago. Now the pandemic is no more, is not anymore the the top news. So we need something else. Now it is George Floyd situation. And after something else happened, we will have another trending topic. We cannot do that. We have to educate ourselves and to educate others. And let's read the Bible in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, JG.
It tells us to wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight and stop doing wrong. Learn, like you were saying, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow.
And we have some practical steps that we need as church, make sure that you understand. First of all, we need to get out of ignorance, and yes, we are doing that starting today. And we have some conversation during the week with the youth and with other group of people around church. But we need to take action as well.
We must get rid of our prejudices. That's how you say it. I need to stop saying... We need to stop having the they mentality. We need to begin to have an us mentality, because we're all in it together. So we need to stop prejudice. We need to stop judging.
And Pastor Alfredo, that's important that we say this. What about if your daughter or your son make the decision to marry a person of a different race?
Right.
It will be okay with you? Mm. If you say no, so you need to ask God to help you to change some of the thoughts that you have in your heart.
That's good, Pastor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jay, the next
one. That was just so deep. we have to, as a church and as a body and as people, we need to also declare our position.
100%.
We need to know what our position is. If we're not willing to speak on a particular position, and let me just say, you don't always have to know the right answers, but you do have to know what your position is.
Yes,
okay, and you have to be able to articulate your position, because as we said earlier, your position will determine your perspective. And I feel like there's a lot of people who still don't even know what to say in this time, because maybe we don't know enough, or we haven't lived that experience. I was going to say, it's okay to process. It's okay to process, but you need to process with the intent of coming to a position, and that position should be a godly position. Yeah,
educate yourself, not only what the people is saying, it's about what God is saying.
That's good. And the last one, we have to report racism. And I want to say this, there's so many ways to do this. You can go and protest, but again, you can report racism to God as well in prayer. You can report yourself. You can report your own heart and say, God, I am sorry because I've been in that position. I've been in the intimate moment of my home and I have said this and I have thought this. Please, I'm sorry. I'm going to change within. We got to report racism in every possible way.
In closing with a Good Samaritan story about the Bible, the question will be, what about if you are the one that is hearing? Would you like somebody to step up and help you? I think yes. So we need to do something now, not only for the racism problem, but other problems that we are facing in the community right now. And we need to do our part. And I want to say this, guys, if you want to make a change, educate, get a profession, go into the places that they make the laws. Because we need people of influence to can make the change. So let's do it. And we here in community, we have different races represented and want to do something today. We want to pray and want to ask God for healing. And we want to ask God for wisdom so we can do what is needed to be done right now. And it's amazing how we can have different countries. You can stand up, please, and you can join us in prayer today. Come up here, Gary. Gary is one of the legendary white men in church. And we have, different races, as we see here in community. And want to do a prayer. First of all, to ask God for forgiveness. Because hate, it doesn't resolve the problem. Reacting in hate about what is happening won't resolve the problem. Yes, we need to do something, but we need to forgive first and ask God for forgiveness. So let's hold hands and let's ask God. Father, we come before you and we ask you for forgiveness. Forgive us, Father, for all what is being happening, not only during this season, but in the past as well. Father, we embrace the reality that you created us different, but we are created into your image. Father, we ask you to help us to heal heart as well. Father, we ask you to make us the changers of this situation. We want to be, Father, the light and the salt on this time. Not only praying, not only going out and protesting, but doing something else. Bringing in the spirit the change. Educating ourselves. Educating others about your perspective, your principles that will resolve this. We want to embrace today the reality that with hate, we won't resolve this problem. Father, give us the power to put ourselves in the position that others are right now suffering, and they need an answer from you. Father, thank you, because we as church, we understand the power of unity, the power of love, the power of change based on your word. Holy Spirit, please help us to be the voice that is calling today for repentance, for healing, and for transformation. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. And before we close, I want to bring your attention to the reality that we really need to get closer to God every single day, but today more than ever, because He is the answer. So if you haven't made the decision to open your heart to Christ and to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, or you have been in vacation during this time, today is a perfect opportunity for you to give your life to Christ or to reconcile with Him. So let's do a prayer all together. Close your eyes and say, Father, I open my heart to you and I make the decision to believe in Christ as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. I ask you to cleanse me. I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to write my name in the book of life. I receive today my eternity and a better life on earth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. Be sure to visit us at forabetterlife.org, where you can get connected, plan a visit to any one of our services, send us any prayer requests you may have, or take your next step in your spiritual walk. If you've decided to give your life to Jesus today, congratulations, we're so excited for you. Don't hesitate to reach out to us and connect at forabetterlife.org.